In Acts chapter 21, verse 13, the great Apostle Paul said to some of his fellow Christians that he was ready to die. He was prepared to do so. Not that he coveted death, but if necessary, he was prepared to leave this life and to face the Lord. Our program today is going to discuss the question, why Paul was ready to die. Our speaker is Thomas B. Warren.
The Bible plainly teaches that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that to judgment. I'd like for us to think today about the fact that all of us face either death or being alive on this earth when Jesus Christ comes again, preceding the judgment, the final judgment. To look at some of these passages and consider what they ought to mean to us. First of all, if you have your Bible handy, I wish you would get it and read with me from the fourth chapter of James, beginning with verse 13 through verse 17. And the passage reads, "Come now, ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into the city and spend a year there in trade and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. But now ye glory in your vauntings, all such glorying is evil. To him that therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." This lays the foundation for us to think about. What are we doing with our lives? And now let us turn to Acts chapter 21 in verse 13. The Apostle Paul, in one of his missionary journeys, explains or makes this statement, Acts 21, verse 13. "Then Paul answered, What do ye, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Paul said he was ready to die. Have you ever thought about being ready to die? Are you ready to die? If not, what should you do about it? It is appointed unto man once to die, and then what's going to happen? And then cometh the judgment. Every person who's ever lived on this earth will be in the judgment. Everyone will be resurrected from the dead and will be brought into the judgment. And as we read in the book of Matthew, on the right hand will be those that are saved, and on the left those that are lost. And few will be saved and many will be lost, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul then makes clear that he's ready to die. I'm ready to die. Are you? Are we? Let us consider this for a little while today. Why was Paul ready to die? Have you ever thought about that? Paul was ready to die, I suggest, for one reason, was because he had a good conscience. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, the record tells us that Paul said, "I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Can you say that? Could I say that? Could we say it and tell the truth? If one has violated his conscience in times past, not all is lost. One can obey the gospel, being baptized into Christ, to be saved not by his works, not by his water that is involved in the water of baptism, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Christ will not save us until we obey him in being baptized as penitent believers, immersed in water, to rise from that watery grave, to walk in newness of life, added by the Lord himself to the church for which he died. Paul had a good conscience. Can you be ready to die and not have a good conscience? Of course not. If you have a bad conscience, this means that there's something in your life that isn't settled. Paul was ready to die in the second place, I suggest to you, because he knew there was no substitute for the truth. It doesn't matter about ancestry. Let's suppose that in your ancestry there were three or four presidents of the United States. Or if your people came from Europe, your ancestry involves three or four kings and princes and all of that. Does that really amount to anything? Ancestry does not. It does not matter at all. Does having a great teacher make you ready to die? Paul had a great teacher, Gamaliel, a Jewish scholar. But that wasn't crucial for him being ready to die. If you've been to university, all the way through to graduate school, and many famous, worldwide famous professors have been your instructors? Does that prepare you to die? No, it may, as a matter of fact, it may very well be a detriment. It may very well have been the case that they taught you many things that were not so. I always strived when I was in class to be my own man, to learn what they were teaching and give it back. You get it, you said it, and then to state my own view if it differed. Professors don't do that. They do not constitute the factor in our lives that makes us ready to die. What about zeal and sincerity? What about a person who's really on fire for something, maybe even religious, and he's really, as we say, gung-ho? Does that necessarily mean that one is ready to die? Was that why Paul was ready to die? Because he was a man of zeal? No, that's necessary, but it's not enough. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. Not sufficient for one to actually be ready to die. Of course, a person can have the conviction that he's ready to die when he isn't. A person can altogether think. Let's suppose that a man hears a religious message, and the speaker tells him that it's from the Bible, that that's what the Bible teaches. But the Bible doesn't really teach that. And he teaches him that he's saved the very moment he believes, and the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that one must not only believe, but he must obey those instructions which are prerequisite to his becoming a Christian. So zeal, while it's necessary, is not sufficient. That wasn't why Paul was ready to die, just because he had zeal. That's not to denigrate zeal. You cannot be pleasing to God excuse me, unless you do have zeal. Well, then perhaps it was something else. Was Paul ready to die? Is the reason he said he was ready to die because he had become a Christian? Because he was a child of God? Well, he couldn't have said he was ready to be to die if he had not become a Christian. But the very fact that one has been baptized into Christ on occasion perhaps 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, or 40 years ago is no guarantee that one is still ready to die. When one emerged from the watery grave of baptism, which is required by the Lord to be saved by the blood of Christ, not by the water. Certainly that would be a good time to die because surely all of his sins are washed away. But if one lives on and on and he commits sin now and again and perhaps even loses his zeal, even drifts away, no longer is willing to meet with faithful Christians as they gather together on the Lord's Day to worship together. He's rather come to the point that he's more concerned about money and fame and sensuality than he is about God. He's more concerned about the things of this life that pertain to this world, this physical world, than he is about the world that pertains to the Spirit. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. But narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, Paul had his eye on that. He had his eye on the fact that he was not saved by faith only, but he had to be saved by his obedience to the gospel to become a Christian, and obedience to the gospel upon the part that is directed to one as he is living the Christian life. No one is saved by faith only. You see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James chapter 2, verse 24. No one is saved by faith only. I realize that doctrine is taught far and wide, but it is not taught by the Bible. This is a human invention. I say that kindly and lovingly, out of concern for everybody who thinks he's a Christian when he's not. One is not a Christian unless he's been baptized unto the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26 and 27, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Unless you have been baptized in obedience to the will of Jesus Christ, then he is not your Savior. That is, you have not yet been saved by him. The Apostle Paul was not one who understood that one was not saved by faith only. He's not saved out of Christ. Salvation is in Christ, that you may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If you're out of Christ, then you are not saved. No one can be saved without being baptized and without being a member of the church. It is not the church that saves you, it's Jesus Christ. But Christ is the Savior of the body, as we read from Paul's words in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians. So, we are not saved short of becoming a member of the body of Christ, and that occurs only when you have been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, which is preceded by faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance from sin, confession of His name, and then to be baptized into Christ. Paul was not ready to die without being a member of the church. No one is. No one is ready to die if he's not a member of the Lord's church, the one purchased by Christ. No one is saved by grace alone. We are saved by grace in the sense that we cannot earn our salvation. You could not by good works undo one sin. That has to be by the power of the blood of Christ, by the grace of God. But Christ tasted of death for every man. If everybody is saved by grace alone, then there would be no one to be lost. But Jesus made clear that that's not the case. Only a few will be saved in comparison to the number that will be lost. Why was Paul ready to die? He was ready to die in a sense because he'd become a child of God. That's absolutely necessary. Paul knew that he couldn't be ready to die without being a child of God. But he also realized, no doubt, that he was ready to die because he had been living and was still living a faithful Christian life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 68 gives a picture of God's, of Paul's living faithfully, the things that he did in obedience to the will of God. Let's turn, if you will. I'd like for you to turn in your Bible and let us read Acts chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. This is a great passage. Now, I'll read the latter part of verse 19. And he was certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. This is talking about Paul. And straightway in the synagogue he proclaimed to Jesus that he is the Son of God. Notice the zeal of Paul. Notice how he went in amongst the Greek philosophers in the city of Athens. And he preached to them the gospel of Christ. He was not deterred by their great philosophical ideas. And so it is here. Paul proclaims that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that in Jerusalem made havoc of them that called on his name? They remembered the fact that Paul at one time had persecuted Christians, but he'd been forgiven. He'd been forgiven by the Lord when he was baptized into Christ. And he had come hither for this intent that he might bring them bound before the chief priests. He'd come there even to bind Christians and to take them before the chief priests. But now notice carefully. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the Christ. Paul knew how to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And anyone who opposes Christianity is unable to oppose the proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible itself involves the fact that God is. We can prove the existence of God without the Bible, but the Bible makes clear over and over and over again the existence of God and that Jesus Christ is His Son. Three persons in one Godhead. Paul realized this. 2 Timothy 2:3 made clear the faithfulness of Paul. He was one who was willing to die even in order to be faithful to Christ. The thing that we're looking for here, however, is what are you and I thinking? Are you ready to die? Am I ready to die? Acts 21 and 13 makes clear about Paul. I'm ready to die. Why? Because he was a Christian. Because he was faithful as a Christian. And finally, because he knew that God would keep his promises. What value would it be for you to know what to do to become a Christian? To know what to do by way of being baptized into Christ, if God wouldn't keep His promises? Suppose after promising us salvation, then we decide, oh well, He's not going to keep them, and so there's no use in my trying to do all of these things. Paul knew that God was not a liar. He knew that He would keep His promises. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist said. I shall not want. Why? Because we can trust in God. As you pick up this book, which is not true of picking up a creed book of some denomination, this book is the book of God. You can be certain of the promises that are here. You can be certain of the warnings. The Bible teaches there's one God, not many, one Lord Jesus Christ. one Holy Spirit, one hope of life everlasting, one faith, the doctrine which is the New Testament, one baptism, baptism on the part of penitent believers unto the remission of sins. It must be done in the right way. You must understand that you're doing it for the remission of sins. And one body, which is the church, Jesus bought with His blood. If you obey the gospel, if you learn and obey the gospel, which culminates in your becoming a Christian upon your completion of being baptized into Christ, if that occurs, then you are a Christian. God adds you to the body of Christ. God has never added any person to a denomination. A denomination is of human invention. Everybody who learns and obeys the gospel of Christ is added by God Himself, as we read in Acts 2, 42-47, is added by God Himself to the church. How many churches are there? Just as many as there are gods. How many churches are there? As many as there are Jesus Christ. How many churches are there? As many hopes as there are of eternal life. All of those are one, 7-1. Some men say, however, there are many gods, many Christs, many spirits, many churches. And other people say there's not any. No God, no Christ, no Holy Spirit, no hope, and so on. But the truth right in the middle is there is one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Savior. That Savior bought the church with His blood. There is no other, and He will add no one else to a church. Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, never added anybody to a denomination. Friends, I say that lovingly and kindly. I plead with you not to take my word for it. It wouldn't be worth anything if that's all it is. But to go to the Bible, search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Paul was ready to die because he knew that God would keep His promise. God added him to the church because he'd been saved by the blood of Christ. How crucial that is. Can you read in the Bible where God ever added anybody to a denomination? Absolutely not. It isn't there. You may become angry with me. You may become angry with others who preach on this program and preach that same basic truth. But it's true nevertheless. There is no one on this earth who has been added by God to a denomination, a religion of human origin. There is only one body. Well, you say all the denominations comprise that one body. No, the denominations contradict one another. They do all kinds of things that are separate. You cannot become a Christian by obeying a false doctrine. It must be the gospel. And when you obey the gospel, you're added by the God to the church. That's what Paul did. Paul was ready to die because he knew that he had been added to that congregation or to that church, and he knew that God would keep His promises to be with him. The Lord is my shepherd, said the psalmist. I shall not want. There is no reason for anyone who is a Christian to stand in need of the things that he truly needs. Paul knew that death would be gain. He said, "For me to live is Christ." Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21. Now, what does that mean? It means that as long as Paul walked on this earth, he was going to live in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not simply a religious message, but the gospel. Notice, the Bible says, Ephesians 4, 4-6, there is one faith. That means there is one gospel. The Apostle Paul lived by that teaching. There is no one who has been added to a denomination as a result of his having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was ready to die because he knew that following the judgment, eternal life would be his. These shall go away into eternal judgment, into eternal life. Jesus made that clear. I'd like for you to turn in your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's read that together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6-8. Here the Apostle Paul says, "For I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come." He's coming near to death. He knows that. What has he done with his life? after he became a Christian, before he became a Christian, he fought Christianity. There's something to be appreciated in that. Here was a man who, when he believed something, he tried to live by it. I cannot help but admire a man if he believes that a certain denomination of which he's a member is the church that the Lord bought with his blood. And he fights for it. That is, he tries to defend it. He goes to the Scripture. A man that doesn't just say, oh, well, that's the way you believe it, and I believe it this way, and it doesn't make any difference one way or the other. It does. It makes a difference. If I'm right, then those in denominations are wrong. I believe the Bible teaches that God adds to the church which Jesus bought with his blood, he adds them to the church when they obey the gospel being baptized into Christ. But notice here, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. He's looked back over his life. He's fought the good fight. That fight was over the gospel, not simply a religious message, but the one gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, turn to Ephesians 4:4-6 and see if you can find more than one of those. But Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. It doesn't do you any good to run if you're in the Olympics and you quit, say, 5 yards or even a foot before you hit the tape. You may be out in front, but if you don't finish, you don't do it. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He's been faithful to God by being faithful to his word. Is there any other way you can be faithful to God than by being faithful to his word? No. You have to be faithful to the will of God. That's the person who is faithful to God. Now notice what Paul says about that, the fact that he had fought the good fight and finished the course and kept the faith. Henceforth, he says, see, he's saying, as a result of that, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. That's the American Standard Version of the Bible. Friends, that's a great, great statement. Paul was ready to die for good reason, because he'd done that. He had become a Christian. Paul was baptized into Christ. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go ye, he's talking to his apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Notice he didn't say, go preach a gospel. Go preach some religious message. The gospel. This book is the gospel. What differs from this book is not the gospel. If one man preaches that A is true and this man preaches A is false, they cannot both be the gospel. Somebody's wrong. I plead with you to recognize that fact and study the Bible for yourself. Recognize that being a Christian comes as a result of obedience to the gospel. That's why Paul was ready to die. And being faithful to it, being faithful even unto death. That doesn't mean, it includes it, to live until you're good, old, and sick, and die, just because you're worn out. But Paul was meaning, I'm ready even to give my life if somebody's going to crucify me or to behead me because of my faith in Christ, then I'm ready to do it. Friend, Paul was ready to die. Are you? I pray that you get your Bible in honest and sincerely. Pray God to help you to understand it, and do obey whatever you learn to be the truth.